Sometimes it's very difficult for us to maintain a grasp of who it is that we're really talking about. Who was that tired man that sat down by that well in Sychar in Samaria and talked to the Samaritan woman? This lesson was read from the Gospel of John, and if you're familiar with the beginning of the Gospel of John, you will know that this man was the Word who was God, the Word who was with God, the Word without whom anything was made that was made. And that Word became flesh. We are talking here of nothing less and no one less than the Creator of all that is, you and I, and that woman. What was he doing there? And I suppose his disciples wondered that too. Why was it that he went through Samaria? That was not done. The Samaritans were apostates. They had given up the true worship. They had abandoned the true God. They should be left to their fate. But there he was. And not only that, he was talking to a woman. Strange behavior for the Almighty Lord of the universe, the Messiah whom the disciples were following. And what did he say to her? What did he do? He asked her to bring some water so that he could have a drink, to underline his humanity, I suppose. He needed it just like we do. And he started to talk to her. I had the privilege of being raised, or reared, I should say, in a Christian home. And I've heard this story from my very earliest youth. And there was one thing in it that always surprised me, and that was the fact that he was able to say to this woman, "You have had five husbands already, and the man you're living with now is not your husband." And it always occurred to me that she should have, if she were like me, she should have turned and slapped him in the face. How did he get by with that? And I suppose, how indeed? And I know that there are a great many people who are dedicated Christians who think that somehow they can emulate that kind of behavior, and so they get short with people and cut them down. But if we think that that's what our Lord Christ was doing, we're making a very serious mistake, because that's not what that was all about at all. Because Christ knew what many of us would like to forget. And we are told in the second chapter of John that Jesus would not trust himself to any man because he knew what was in man's heart. For in that heart of every one of us, in that secret heart of hearts where we wish no one to penetrate at all, where we would like to forget ourselves what is in there, and what we want no one to know anything about, least of all God or the incarnate Word as he stood before us. It's the same with holy things and with unholy things. We like to keep them in silence. But we can't. We can't. Unless we wish to destroy ourselves. And when our Lord Christ came to this woman, he was not interested in exposing her adultery. He was not interested in condemning her as a fallen woman. He came there for quite a different purpose. He penetrated into that awful thing that she was hiding. And like a surgeon opens a boil to clean it out, he cleansed her. And when he said what he did, there was no more any need for her to hide. For it was all out in the open, and this tremendous burden that she was carrying and which she was trying to cover up from the community, although the whole community knew it, that burden was lifted from her. And that's what Christ does. And notice how she responded to the lifting of that burden. She went into the village and she said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." And if you listen carefully to the lesson, you will know that Christ spoke to her of many things. He spoke to her of living water. He spoke to her of true worship. He spoke to her of the latter days. But this was the thing that she zeroed in on. This was something that meant everything to her. "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." Is not this the Christ? And so it is with witness. If we are to bear witness to that Christ, we can't do it without further ado. We can't do it as though we had never carried that burden of guilt in our hearts. We can't do it as though we have never been cleansed and recreated by the Word. For we too, if we are to bear effective witness, will have to do it because we know that that burden has been taken away from us, that our Lord Christ has exposed it and carried it away, and we need no longer be concerned about it. And then we can go and carry that message of cleansing and of mercy to the whole world. But you know, we live in such a diverse world. Our Lord at that time was moving in a fairly tight community. And when he talked to her of the Messiah, she knew what he was talking about. And when he spoke to her of her husband, they had a mutual understanding of what those laws of God were all about. But when we go out into the community, and I don't really care whether you go out into the community in Newark, New Jersey, in Sundance, Wyoming, in Deadwood, South Dakota, or in Okbama, Nigeria. When you go into those communities, you are going to meet a large number of people who do not have the same background that you do, and who are going to require something else of he who would bear witness. And you know, I was a missionary for many years, and I like to tell war stories. There was a group of missionaries who went to Liberia. And they had the notion that many people have these days, that God is raising up an instant church out there, and all you have to do is go out there and get yourself somebody who can speak the language and start preaching, and you'll convert hordes. Well, these people got their interpreter, and they looked at a map, and they decided that they would go to this particular tribe, and they got the interpreter for that tribe, and they went out there, and they began to preach to the people, and they told them, "We are all sinners, and we have been redeemed by the Almighty, and we've got to repent of our sins and accept that forgiveness." And they got a reaction that they didn't really expect. Because the people began to pick up their sticks and their clubs and their bows and arrows, and they drove the missionaries out. And they tried to find out what in the world had happened. And after some exploration, they discovered that this particular language had two forms of the word "we." One of them means "we, not you," and the other one means "us and you." And their interpreter had used the one that means "we, not you." So when they were talking about "we are sinners," "we and not you are sinners," and the local people got the idea that they must have escaped from a prison or something, and they didn't want criminals in their midst, so they drove them away. This is a trivial example, and I know it's trivial. But there are an awful lot of things that can get in the way between us and those to whom we try to bring the gospel.
And we need to learn and worship and pray for His guidance so that we can bring that experience to our fellow members of the human race, just as this woman who said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Go and tell." Now may the peace of God, which passes all our feeble understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.